What I'm going to do is spend a few moments, just a few moments, sharing what the purpose of the church is and why we're saved. We're not saved just to come to church and to live a better life. That's part of it. But the primary purpose that you're saved is to serve. That is your primary purpose. You got saved to serve. Serve who? The body of Christ. And also to make disciples of all men. That's a command. And so we have a responsibility. Some think it's just coming to service. You know, let's come to service and see what the preacher is going to teach or preach. And that's not the primary purpose. We are to come and assemble as we see the day approaching, as it says in Hebrews, not forsake the assembling of one another. We are to come together as the called out ones, called by God, but we are to come to hear from Him and to be taught in the Word of God and do it. But we're primarily called to serve.
Amen.
And anyone, if you look up the word ministry, if you take the time and look it up, a lot of the translations say serve or service. And you will see that, and we're not going to take all that time today. I'm just going to give you some things that you can study out on your own. But it is important as we finish this year, and this will be the last Sunday of this year, it's important to kind of, not summarize, but hear the heart of God as to what we're finishing up this year, and as we march into 2015, there are things that God has put on our heart and has been for a while, and it's in development now, just about ready to be launched, where there are things that we're not saying, well, I'll say it this way. This ministry has always ministered to the servants of the Lord, ministered to people, but God is now wanting us to come up to another level of service. And I believe God is speaking to just remind us and also share with you that it takes it's going to take everyone to get the job done, not just a few. Everyone. And I remember years ago, Ed Cole used to talk about being spiritually employed. And everyone in the body of Christ needs to be spiritually employed. That means you need to be doing something. And primarily, it doesn't mean that it's exclusive to the church, but God may put it on your heart to minister independently to the body of Christ. But primarily, God is raising up and raises up assemblies, and in that assembly, God brings together so that the needs of that assembly are met, and the community in which it resides. And I believe God is stirring the hearts of the leadership here to reach out into this community in this area to affect the change and to work with other ecclesias, other assemblies. You understand that? This isn't just The body of Christ needs to participate with one another. It needs to come together and work together. And we are endeavoring to do that. So, Praise God. Let's join our hearts as we spend a few moments in the Word of God. Father, we thank you for the Word of God, which is forever settled in heaven. It is bread and manna for us. It is the Word of grace. It is the Word of life, which we look for and yearn for. And Father, as we build our life upon it, and we dig down deep and put our foundation upon it, the winds of life may come, but we shall stand and not fall. And we thank you, Father, for this great place and the great people that have assembled here. We thank you for this place, this ministry that you've established, not man, but you've established it, and we thank you that it shall stand. Because it is your work. And we thank you for it. Thank you that you're bringing the people. And we thank you, Father, for the founders of this ministry. Thank you for Pastor Clinton, which is in your presence. He's absent from the body and present with the Lord. Thank you for Pastor Sarah. Thank you for what you're doing in her life. Thank you for what you're bringing her through and to. Thank you for the work that you have for her to do. Thank you for the anointing and grace that's upon our life. And we thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit who's here to teach and to guide and direct our thoughts and our hearts. Father, we open our hearts to receive your word, and we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open our Bibles this morning to John 3:16. We were teaching from there last week, just one verse, but I think enough that you could get a little more insight and revelation in that verse. Now let's read it together from whatever translation. I'm going to read from the King James Version. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you heard last week, I gave these 4 points. The prerequisite, we're talking about the gift that keeps on giving. And in this particular verse, we just broke down these 4 sections of it. The prerequisite of the gift, for God so loved the world. There is none. No prerequisite for this gift. Otherwise, sin would have held you back. The preciousness of the gift that he gave his only begotten Son. And the other one is the personalization of the gift, that whosoever believeth in him, and then the permanence of the gift, should not perish but have everlasting life. And you can ask for that message in the store if you desire. It's free of charge. We don't charge you for it. Glory to God. So today, what we're going to share, I want you to just turn for a minute. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 2. And we're going to start here and just read a few scripture verses in Acts and Romans and 1 Corinthians. Acts chapter 2, and looking in verse 46, well, let's back up to verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. Boy, have things changed. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the what? Church. He added to the ecclesia daily such as should be saved. Let's look at Acts chapter 12. Let's look at a few scripture verses here. Acts chapter 12, starting in verse 1. If you don't have a Bible, you certainly, this is a time you can look on, fellowship with one another. Acts chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. He's talking about the ecclesia here. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. Look at this. But prayer was made without ceasing of just a few folks, the church, the ecclesia, the ones called out and assembled in this church unto God. For who? For Peter. And of course, you can go on and read that their prayers availed. Did it not? Let's jump over to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. And of course, you can look up, you can take the time and look it up if you have a concordance, or you can just go online. There are a number of tools you can use or websites. But that word ecclesia or church, you can just look up church, is used over 100 times. I don't have the exact count, but it's probably close to 120, 130 times that it's used in the New Testament, the word ecclesia, or the called out ones, the church, the assembled called out ones. Romans chapter 16, and let's look at verse 1. It says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is what? A servant of who? The church. She is a servant of the ecclesia, this called out assembled group. She's a servant of that church, which is at Cenchrea. So we're looking here in Scripture, we can see that God has some, and he took the time to point it out in Scripture, that, and this doesn't mean that there's only some, but we're just pointing out that God has, by the Holy Ghost, showed that there was a servant of this group, which is at Cenchrea. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians. This is a familiar 12, chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12. And starting in verse, let me see here. Well, let's back up to 23. And it says, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, Upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members, should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. You know, sometimes, periodically, you know, you'll talk with folks either in this assembly or this ecclesia, others, or outside the church, and they'll complain about people in the church and the body of Christ. And I thought to myself, usually I'll say to them, I'll say, well, let me ask this question. When your arm hurts, do you complain and say, you stupid arm, what's wrong with you? You usually take this arm and help this arm. Or if this leg, you help it with something, don't you? You don't complain about something that's not working properly. You help it. Is that not true? And so sometimes when we get to going, sometimes when we want to complain about something that we don't like, we're talking about another part or member of the body. And that's what this is saying here. It says, whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. And we don't complain about it. That should affect us. Whether one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now look, this is what I want to look at. Verse 28. And God, who did? God hath set some in the church, the ecclesia. He set, and so, yes, there's the church universal, but then there's also the ecclesia. We're talking about assembled churches, a church that God has raised up. And that's important. God raises up churches. And man, or his body, yields to the call of God upon their life, and he sets them over that, does he not? And so we have here, this is saying, God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? The answer is no. But you can see from that list here, there's something that God raises up, something to meet the need in every ecclesia. Every part, every need in that church, you can see almost all of it here. You can see here, he's got the ministry gifts, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. He's listing, if you could just list helps and governments, you got a good percentage covered right there, just in the needs of the church. Now the question is everybody yielding? The answer is no. The answer is no. And so we need to look at that. Now, the Hebrew, now as I said before, the Greek word for church, and you can look this up, is ekklesia. The Hebrew word, I'm not going to try to pronounce it, it's Q-A-H-A-L, quahal. And it means, in the Hebrew sense, it means God's people called together by God in order to listen to or act for God. I'm going to repeat that again. That word in the Hebrew means God's people called together by God. So God calls. What did he say? He saved some daily that should be saved. He sends them to churches. God directs people to churches in order to what? To listen to or act for God. Amen. It means a body of people who have been summoned out of their homes to come and meet with God. A summons from God to every man to come and listen to and to act on the word of God. The church, the ecclesia, is a body of people, not so much assembling because they have chosen to come together, but assembling because God has called them to himself. Not so much assembling to share their own thoughts and opinions, but assembling to listen to the voice of God. That's when we come together, we come to assemble to hear him. How do we hear him? We can hear him as we worship. We can hear him through the word of God. We can hear him personally. He will give us direction. That is the purpose we come to assemble, to hear from him and get direction for our life. And as we do, God will set people in the church where the needs are. I'm thinking for me, and it's an interesting thing, the very moment I got saved, God began to speak to me the very day I got saved. I heard his voice down here. He gave me some instructions. So I'm not the only one. I know there's some in here that the moment you got saved, God, your spirit's brand new. You start to hear him. And he gave me some instructions in the ecclesia that I got saved in. He said, go sing in the choir. I said, I've never been in a choir before. But you see, when God directs, there's talent and hidden things in you don't even know. But if you'll just obey him, he'll position you, number one, to meet a need in the church, and then in that obedience, you're being developed. You're being obedient. You're being faithful to him, faithful to his direction. So through the years, I sang in that choir, didn't know. I mean, I sang a little bit, but being in a group, that was the first time I sang in a choir, following choir parts, you see, and then coming here and singing. I remember the first time I came, I heard the Holy Ghost say, heard him say, leave that particular Assembly of God church. I didn't want to. He said, now you can leave. And I went and came to Redeeming Love Christian Center. But it wasn't, you know, like I didn't know Pastor Sarah and Clinton. They had been at this particular Assembly of God church before they went to Bible school. So I knew them. This was in 1978. And so I came here. The very first thing I looked for was, where can I help? What can I do? And I believe that in every person that's saved, there's an unction to serve. The problem is we try to figure out how we're going to do that with all the things on our plate. And God is not asking for our opinion. He's not asking for your opinion. He's giving you direction. And the key is for us to follow his direction, and he'll work out all the things in your life that you think, you know, cause you to not serve, you see. Most of us say, well, I can't do that. I remember when I was coming here, I was working two jobs. I wasn't on staff here yet. I was working two jobs because I was going through a situation, and I thought I needed to, you know, take a second job to earn some money. The problem was I wasn't going to church during the week because I had to take this second job at night. And I heard the Holy Ghost say, I want you to quit that job and come to Wednesday night service. Oh, that was a tough one. I said, man, how am I gonna meet my bills? But I heard his voice and I chose to obey. And it was the best thing I ever did. I'd like to say all the bills just cleared up instantly, but they didn't. But I obeyed. And I placed myself in a position to begin to hear the word on a more consistent basis, not just not just something on Sunday morning. And so God looks for obedience, because if you can't obey him and that little thing, right, how's he going to trust you with something where his church is concerned? He's just asking you to come to service on a regular basis. And you say, I can't because I got a job, I got this, I got that, I can't do this, I can't do that. And you want to be participating in the church, and you want to be used in the church, but we're not obeying to just come to service because we're too busy. I hope this isn't hard on you, but it was what I lived through. You understand what I mean? This is where people live. People live in this arena. You know, I got so much going on, I can't. No, you need to ask. That's the whole purpose we got saved. He loved us before we even loved him. And now he starts giving us directions to clean up our life, to make it more productive, so he can use us. And we're like, oh man, I can't do that. You couldn't figure out your life to begin with. He's trying to help you. You know what I mean? He's trying to help us, and while we're giving him directions. I can't do that. I'm too busy. Right. Uh-huh. So let's turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And let's look at verse 13. These scriptures will help us. Galatians chapter 5. Did you get there yet?
Yes.
Verse 13. It says, for brethren, we have been called unto liberty. I'm reading in the King James Version. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So you can see here the scripture equates loving one another by serving them. We love our neighbor by serving them. Let me read this from the Amplified. It says, for you, brethren, were indeed called to freedom. Isn't that a wonderful thought there? What do we call? We were called to freedom. Did you know that? It says, only do not let your freedom be an incentive to your flesh and an opportunity or excuse for selfishness, but through love you should serve one another. We have not been set free to be selfish, but we have been set free to serve. That's why we've been set free. We've not been set free to consume things for me. That's a very miserable life. But we've been set free to serve one another. This is the contemporary English version Bible. It says, "My friends, you were chosen to be free. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do anything you want." You know, we shouldn't be doing anything we want. We should be getting up saying, "Lord, what do you want me to do? What are your directions for me?" So we can't use our freedom as an excuse to do anything we want. Use it as an opportunity to serve each other with love. That's what we've been set free for. We are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God uses these members to serve one another. Amen. The New Living Translation: "For you have been called to live in freedom, not freedom to satisfy your sinful nature, but freedom to serve one another in love." And God has put this on my heart to share, because as the ministry expands and grows, I'm not going to take the time to do it right this moment. But one of the prophetic utterances that went forth years ago in 2005 by Brother Copeland, and he said, I'm sorry, it was 2003. He said that it took 20-some years to build the foundation of this church. This is a church that God raised up, and part of that prophetic utterance said it took that long to build that foundation because of what it's going to have to support. So there are facets of the ministry that are going to be raised up and developed and expanded that are going to take every hand to do. And there are things sitting, and I believe that there are, when Reverend Billy Joe Watts was here years ago, he said all of the gifts are in the house. Everything's in the house that's needed. See, that would be kind of can you imagine a God that will raise up an ecclesia and go, "Oh man, I didn't think of that. I missed that." No, everything that church, that ecclesia needs, when he raises it up, is in the house. It's there. Because he brought it. He called them to that church. Now, the needs of one church at a particular time may be different than as it grows 30 years later, there's different needs. But he's going to bring to that ecclesia the need. Not the need, but he's going to bring the solution. He's going to bring somebody with what's needed to fulfill it. Does that sound like a God to me? The God that I serve will bring what's needed to fulfill that need. He's going to bring something or someone to fulfill it. Hallelujah. So you can see that we've been redeemed, we've been forgiven, we've been made prosperous, we've been cleansed and sanctified, set free for a purpose, and that purpose is to serve one another in love. Hallelujah. And of course, you know, when Pastor Lewis was here for many years, he'd get up and share and say, you know, not grudgingly or of necessity, but a willing, cheerful, prompt-to-do-it giver whose what? Heart is in their giving. You don't want somebody to give because I just have to give. No, it should be because you want to. Out of love, you're giving. and serving one another. Amen. Let's turn over to a familiar scripture. Let's look at Romans chapter 12. It's a familiar scripture verse. We're going to look at verse 1. I'm going to read this from the King James first. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let me read this from the New International Version. I like this. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. See, sometimes we disconnect service with worship, but your service, your reasonable service, is a spiritual act of worship. And sometimes we disassociate that. We think, well, vacuuming and cleaning and running media and doing all of this, you know, that's just a service. It is, but it's a spiritual act of worship. It'd be kind of difficult to do the things that we do here without those things being done. It'd be kind of tough to hear me. I could shout pretty good, but without a sound system in this assembly, it might be difficult to hear. So you need people to serve. And I believe God leads. I know years ago when I first started here, I heard serve as a host or an usher. And this was before singing in the choir. And I did that for a year and a half. I heard it right down here, go serve as an usher. And I did that willingly, enjoyed doing it. And then I didn't know anything about sound. And I heard the Holy Ghost say, I want you to now join the media department and run sound and participate. And I thought, okay. I knew zero. Started working on this little tiny mixing console. And of course, years ago, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have as many books. So I'm bumping around trying to figure out how to do this. Did the best I could. And so God honored that and began to give me wisdom, but I had to put myself in a place at God's direction to receive wisdom from Him. See? And a lot of times we want to be used, and the first step is just obeying. And I'm not trying this is certainly not to pick on because I believe this church, and I just have been here long enough, the people that volunteer here is just phenomenal. I just count it a privilege to be a pastor in this church and see the heart of the people come and serve in the way that they do. Willingly to do the things that we do here. But everybody, and I mean everybody, needs to participate. Because what's that saying? Many hands make. And so through the years, you know, with things, what happens is I would like to see depth. You understand what I mean? In other words, two or three or four people that allow for people to rest. Take a break. You know, today, I'll just share this, up in Pennsylvania, we didn't have a sound person. Why? Because people have vacations and they need time off. So we had a situation. So we said, okay, the Holy Ghost, and it just came to me in a flash. I said, wait a minute. We don't have, because Dan's got to be here. Somehow you can't run two sound systems at the same time. And so you have to make a choice. And you have to say, okay, what are we going to do out in Pennsylvania? But you see, they've got children that learned how to run the software that projects the words and the sound in children's church. So the Holy Ghost said, pick those two little youth, those children. They're capable. It's not as extensive as this. And you got a little mixing, you got a mixing console out there, and you got a Mac computer and a PC, and you've got all of that going on. But you're not throwing them in and they don't know. It's a little different. But the point is, they had to first participate in the children's church. And I'm telling you, God is going to raise up little children that'll zoom right by you if you don't get busy. And the wisdom of God and the favor of God will be on these children because they have a heart to serve. I'm not picking on anybody, but I'm telling you, you need to think about it. Let me ask this question. Who comes first? I'm going to say it again. Who comes first? Okay, you were a little slow there. I'm going to give you another chance. Who comes first? Okay, I thought some of you might be snoozing. Let's say it again. Who's first? Okay, let me ask this question. Is your husband first? See, that takes somebody, you know, to think about that a second. Are your children first? Let's see. Is your job first?
No.
Okay, who's first?
God.
God is first. And when we place him first, he will give us direction as to how to manage our life. Manage our marriage, manage our children, manage our job, and the time that we have allotted in this life. If we put him first, not leftover. Oh, I got it 15 minutes driving to work. Lord, help me. You know, I'll give you 15 minutes while I'm driving to work. And the rest of my day is booked. You know how busy I am. I can slot you in, Lord, from this time to this time. That's how we think. But it's true. I'm just trying to be real. But he should be first. And when we place him first, when he starts to give directions that kind of bump up against your schedule, you go, oh, no, I can't do that. I ain't got time for that. And so what happens is, in the ecclesia, God is going to do some things anyways. And sometimes in that church, he's endeavoring to expand and grow the church. See, he's going to do it here. First of all, not because of anything we've done. This isn't our idea. This wasn't Pastor Sarah and Pastor Clinton's idea. They followed 30-some years ago the leading of the Holy Ghost. And when they went to Bible school, you know how parents say, you weren't even a twinkle in my eye. You know, I wasn't even thinking about you when I got married. I wasn't thinking about this child. But this church was not their idea. When they came back from Bible school, God said, I want you to do such and such and such and start an ecclesia in your home. But now you could have said, well, we can't do that. We don't have this, or we don't have that. And some folks say, I ain't using my home. But then you'd miss God. Amen. And see, that obedience positioned them for God to do this and trust them with something bigger. You see. Because you've heard through the years Pastor Saron Clinton say, the Holy Ghost said, you weren't my first choice. There were others tapped on the shoulder and didn't obey. See? But he still was going to get what he wanted done. See? Because he has a plan. So the same thing. Here, he's going to get things done. He's providing an opportunity for us to hook in. See? Hook in. Just take a step of faith. I'm thinking about some things now. I don't want to call on any particular names because I don't think that's fair at this point. But one particular outreach that's being developed right now, those two individuals that God told us to select. We heard the Holy Ghost select this individual. Those individuals have been doing that process for a long time. We didn't select them because of that. We didn't sit down and say, oh, you know what? I know them. They've been doing that for blah, 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 blah. Didn't do that. We just followed, heard him speak, select this individual. And we did. And find out afterwards in discussions that they've been doing this for a long time. Holy Ghost knows. He knows the people in an assembly that he's directed and positioned in the assembly to do things. And as they're obedient to do it, he will raise them up to another level to do something of more significance. But we first got to start. See, I had to be willing to do a little bit on a soundboard, and then he opened my thinking and my understanding in other areas, you see. And now we have a wonderful group. Sure would like to see more, but we have a wonderful group in this area, media, that's learning and growing. You know, it thrills me, you know. I'm thinking about young Josh. You know, recently we did some upgrades on this sound system, and I wanted to keep it at a certain spending level, and I said, you know what, these speakers are 25 years old, and I said, they sound like it. You may not think so, but I hear it. And so I said, you know what? I don't want to spend the money to replace these speakers. So I said, I'll tell you what. Let's buy all the components inside the speakers and replace them. And so we did. And I got a genie lift, and young Josh is up here opening the cabinets up, pulling them out, pull the parts out, replace them, and they sound like brand new speakers. You had somebody come in to tune the system again, but all brand new parts. Didn't cost us that much to do. But you see, they had to be available. They had to obey God to be here, to be used. See, and I appreciate that. And God's blessing them and expanding their thinking. So God is looking, as we grow this ministry, to use us. Amen. Now, let's turn over for a minute to Ephesians chapter 4. Well, before you do that, you keep your finger there in Ephesians 4, but let's look at Matthew 20. Matthew 20 and verse 25. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 25. Matthew 20, verse 25. It says, but Jesus called them unto him, and he said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. If you look that up, it says servant. So you can see here serving and ministry, same word. When we think service, we need to think ministry. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. That word is serve, but to serve. And to give his life a ransom for many. So when we think ministry, we need to think service. Let's jump back over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 8. It says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Verse 11 and 12. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and you could say, and some teachers. For what? What's the purpose of these ministry gifts? For the what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Let me read this from the Amplified. And his gifts were varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us, some to be apostles, special messengers, some prophets, inspired preachers and expounders, some evangelists, preachers of the gospel, traveling missionaries, some pastors, shepherds of his flock, and teachers. Now listen to this. This is verse 12. His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of his saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, the church. So, in Christendom, I would say in religious Christendom, the thinking is the minister and a handful of folks, they're the ones that do the ministry work. Would I be incorrect? Are you that insulated? Or have you not been churched? You go into most churches, even the Assembly of God that I came out of. The pastor did all the counseling. The pastor did all the running to the hospital. The pastor did the preaching. The pastor did this. The pastor did that. And one or two other folks. And that was it. And the expectation is that's what we hired him for. And if he doesn't do that, or she, then we'll replace them. Because that's what we're paying him for. We're paying them to do the work of the ministry. Wrong. Yes. That's unscriptural. And it's right here. Because you can't be doing all of that and perfecting the saints for the work of the ministry. You can't do both. Amen. The NIV says, it was He, God, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So the body of Christ is built up by the ecclesia, the called out ones. We are the ones that are used by God to minister to the body of Christ. Now, what does it say? What is the ministry gifts for? The apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. It's to prepare and perfect and fully equip the saints that they should do the work of the ministry. Ephesians 4:11 and 12, this is in the easy-to-read version. It says, and that same Christ gave these gifts to people. He made some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to go and tell the good news, and some to care for and teach God's people. Christ gave these gifts to prepare God's holy people for the work of serving. Kind of quiet. I didn't hear amen. Take a deep breath. It's okay. But that's what the ministry gifts are for. To prepare the saints of God for the work of the ministry. What do we mean by that? Everything that needs to be done in an ecclesia. Anything. You know, when I came here, I just said, what do they need me to do? Whatever it is. Run an errand, run the mail, push a broom. I remember when I was working on staff, they didn't pay me to snowplow here. I just like stick shifts. I race cars. I like that. So I like driving stick. I should have been a truck driver. I don't know. I just enjoy it. I like driving stick. And so they had a need, and I said, I'll do that, and I'd plow snow all night long, maybe 2 days in a row, just to get it plowed here. I didn't get one extra dime for that, not one additional dime. Yeah, Pastor Sarah and them, we had a bad snowstorm 1 year. We had two trucks. We had a big dump truck, and we had a big another pickup truck, a one-ton and a half-ton. And we had about 30-some inches of snow, and so they were snowed in. They were living out in Lake Apacon. They were snowed in. They had the ministry guest there, and their house was about a quarter mile off the road. And we left here, you know, kind of like, you know, Abraham leaving. You know, we just kind of threw everything in the truck. They said, we're stuck. We said, okay, we're coming. And we took the two trucks and we headed out there. And this is what met us at the beginning of their driveway, snow up to here. And we thought, okay, this is going to be interesting. And so how do we handle it? One push at a time. We push it, get out there, shovel. Push it, shovel. And then their driveway went like this. It went shoo, and then in. So we looked over and went, oh, you got 36 inches of snow. We was like, okay, put this boy in, just go head over, tip over, Geronimo. There we went, right? And so what do we do? When we got stuck, we shovel it out and keep pushing. We got there at 8, and we hand shoveled till about 9 in the morning. There were about 3 or 4 of us. Isn't that right? About 3 or 4. The sun came up. It was about 8 or 9 in the morning. We were still shoveling and plowing that snow. Yep. And then every once in a while, we come in, get something a little hot, and come back out again. warm our feet up a little bit. But we shoveled all night long after we had plowed here. See, but they were stuck. See, and the problem was that it was so deep, there was no service that would do anything. They said, sorry, we can't come. And they had somebody there, a guest, that, you know, he had some medical things going on, and so they just couldn't be stuck. And we assisted, we helped. So, yeah, oh, I see, right. That was the reason he was in. The lawyer was in because they were preparing to buy the Pocono Church, that property, which they did. So, you know, the point in all of that is make yourself available. And, you know, you start and God will do the rest in your life. That's the point. He's preparing us to do a mighty work here, and he's looking to get us hooked in. I want to look at just a few extra scriptures here. I want to look briefly. I really want to spend more time doing this. I'm not sure if I'm going to teach another lesson on this, but you take the time and look at Barnabas. And Barnabas's life, he didn't start as an apostle. He didn't start there. He just started as a churchgoer. Let's look at Acts 4. Just a few scriptures here you can see just in the life of Barnabas. Now we know he's separated from Paul. They got back together again, but you can see in the life of Barnabas an interesting Acts 4, and let's look at verse 36. Acts 4, that can't be right. Oops, it is right. I'm in the wrong book. If I get in the right book, we'll be all right. Acts 4, 36. It says, and Joses, or actually, it really is Joseph, who, I'm going to read this in the New King James, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated the son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So you can see here, just in his life, one of the greatest things you can do to facilitate the work of God is to be an encouragement to your local church. That's what he was. He took this land and sold it and brought it for the help of that ministry. He did it from his heart. Acts 9. That's where he started. Acts 9. Acts 9, verse 26, 27, and 28. Acts 9, verse 26, I'm going to read from the New King James Version. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, see, now he's saved, come back, he's been to heaven, received revelation. It says he tried to join the disciples, but they were what? All afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. Look at verse 27. But who? Barnabas. It didn't say he was an apostle or whatever. It says Barnabas took him and brought him to who? The apostles. And he did what? He declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and coming out. This is Barnabas the believer, right? Doing what? Being an encouragement to the church in Jerusalem. And see how God strategically used him. Isn't that something? See, that's what I mean. Sometimes we think, well, God couldn't use me. Yes, he can. He's going to use each one of us strategically and use the gifts and the abilities that he has in each one of us. We just need to step out. Let's look at Acts at 11. Acts 11. I want to go there. Yeah, that's fine. Acts 11. And look at verse 19. Acts 11, verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenice, or it's Phoenicia, or you can, in some of the modern translations, in Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number did what? Believed and turned unto the Lord. Well, when you have a great number that believed and turned unto the Lord, what may be the next thing that may happen? God is going to call them and assemble them to do what? Start a church. Wouldn't that be logical, right? So, where was I here? We're reading, verse 22. When tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was where? Where was Barnabas? Huh? He was in that church. It said, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. So who was they? Obviously, it must have been some leadership in there. Someone in charge said, hey, Barnabas, we need you to go over here to Antioch. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was what? Glad. And he did what? Exhorted them. He encouraged them that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, he's talking about Barnabas, and full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Now look what Barnabas did next. Isn't this interesting? Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. He brought him back. For what purpose? And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So you can see, where did Barnabas start? And now he's being used in another capacity, isn't he? But he had to make himself available. Amen. I just hope you see that. Did that help you a little bit? Amen. And let's look at one last scripture, Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. There's so much you could look at to see how we function in the church. Acts chapter 6, and look at verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a what? A murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. In some of the translations, it just says the widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So there was a need, and they were being overlooked. And it says, then the twelve called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and do what? Serve tables. You know, that's no different today. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Ghost. And you can see the other six that they chose. Amen. Glory to God. And in the NIV it says, we'll turn this responsibility over to them so that they could spend their time in prayer and in the Word of God. For what? The purpose of perfecting and developing the saints for the work of the ministry. Amen. One of the things that we're doing is that is the goal for this ministry this year, that we spend, the pastors spend more time in prayer and in the Word of God, so that the work of the ministry, our desire is that whatever the needs are, they're met. We desire to see more people putting their hands to the work of the ministry. And we ask you, just like when it comes to your giving, which is spiritual, that you pray and ask Him for direction in what to do. Because when you do, a need will be met. Amen. Glory to God. You know, I remember when I had been here 20 years, and Pastor Sarah and Clinton called me in the office, and they just wanted to say thank you for your service and so forth. And I remember them saying, you have made our life easier. See, that's a commendation, that if you can have a pastor say to you, you've made our life as pastors easier. That did my heart joy. Because the things that I purposed, my thinking, every waking moment I was thinking, what can I do to make it easier for them? And I made myself available and obeyed. I'm thinking about the albums that Pastor Clinton was able to produce. Some of you don't know, when I first started here, I heard the Holy Ghost say, because I would run sound, he'd get over in the spirit and sing songs and worship songs. He didn't remember one word that he sang. He didn't even remember the tune. You come out in the natural and you're like, what did I just sing? That's where he was. That's where most of us are. If we get used by the Holy Ghost, it lifts and you're like, what did I just say? I don't remember. And the Holy Ghost said to me, every service I want you to transfer. And of course, you can see I'm dating myself. We were on cassettes. And I transferred everything from one cassette to the next. And I compiled hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of songs that he would get here. And he was appreciative because he said, man, I don't remember that. Wow. And those songs were the substance of the albums that he produced. And there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds that weren't. Still to be done. I'm talking about can be produced. But I had to be obedient to, number one, listen and do it. And then it was what? It met a need. And that need just didn't bless you all, but it blessed the ecclesia, the universal church. Some of them songs went around the world. So we don't know the measure and the degree of our obedience in a setting. When we take a step forward and the Holy Ghost uses us, you know, you can see here, did Barnabas know ahead of time the effect of his obedience? He didn't know. I'm sure he didn't know when he went to Saul, you know, what kind of reaction he was going to get. He just obeyed. And so that's the same for us. We need to just obey. Pray, ask him for direction, what our part is to play in the body of Christ. Not only here, but just universally. Amen. Anybody get anything? I believe that as we grow spiritually, God keeps bringing up and reminding us of our part and our role. Church is not just to come and be fed. It's not just to come and see what is going to happen, you know, what program is on. It's an assembly of the saints, the called out ones, to come and to hear from him. Get direction. Yes, we get direction corporately, but we get direction individually. Not only for our own personal lives, but we get direction as to how we hook in and meet the needs in that church and that community. Amen. Change a community. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, and I believe that this is the heart of God. This is what you are speaking from your heart to us, your people assembled. And Father, we ask for clear direction as to what we should do and what our part is to play as we end this year and we walk into next year. We ask you, Father, what our part is to play. And Father, we endeavor to hear and obey in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.